And for the invitation, opportunity given to me by the leadership that's trusting me to talk to you. So there's some confidence given there. And the Lord helping me even bring what he has placed on my heart. Shall we pray? I want to drink some water. Father, thank you that you took me through this week. It was difficult, but your grace is always sufficient. And now today, you know what you have put in my heart. I just pray for your guidance by the Spirit of God, so that hearts today, both here and on Zoom, would hear your voice clearly and would respond the way your Spirit will have them, both the saved and the unsaved. And especially those who are not saved would realize how much you love them, Lord. There is a dearth in people recognizing how much you love them. That's what Calvary is all about in a major way. So, Lord, we put this meeting in your hands and we praise and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. A quick drink. Because what I'm going to do is read a scripture. It's already commented on, but that's what the Lord gave me. I'll read it and then notice something. I wouldn't say the same that was said this morning. The Word of God, as you know, is full of its truth and freshness. We cannot fully exhaust it. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 all the way to 49. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, that's Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet and her tears with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he, as Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water, sin of omission. You know, that was a common courtesy for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, not a sin of omission. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head, sin of omission again, with oil. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. For to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. That must have been like music to her ear. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, what I see here is that someone has experienced the love of God. Yes, there's another scripture I want to read before we go any further. It's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 here. In fact, this is what led me, this scripture here. Verse 16, let me find it here. Okay. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. My question to you, have you known the love of God? Do you believe the love of God? This is not any kind of love. This is heaven's love. Do you know it? Have you experienced the love of God? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God loves you? Some people don't even believe that, you know, because of problems they've had in their life. You know, I was thinking of getting like a strainer, like a rice strainer, and bring it up here and pour water in it. And you would see all the water coming out because it's a strainer. Some people are like that. They can't receive love because they'll be hurt by life. And so they're only talking about love. You know, people have gone through abuse as a child and they believe nobody loves me anymore. I don't believe that. That's what you say. That's what the Bible says. I don't feel love. Maybe some of you don't really feel love. I remember the love of God wasn't big with me. And what I remember one time, this is about over a decade ago. I remember I shocked myself. I said, Lord, I love you. Because usually I didn't say that. I know God cares about me, but it was like a new phase to enter and to say, Lord, I love you. I used to hear people say it all the time. And, you know, back in my 20s, long time ago, I used to say, why are they saying this all the time? Because to me, if you say you love God, you got to prove it. And if you can't prove it, you can't say it. So I wouldn't say it because I guess I didn't really receive the love of God as I should have. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here and you struggle sometimes and you think, well, maybe he loved me now because I prayed today. I was nice to my wife. I was nice to my husband. You're feeling good. But other times, you struggle. That used to be something that I experienced. And then I came to realize that God's love for me is constant. It's not dependent upon my behavior. He loves me today and always, whether I pray a lot or not. He loves me and he has nothing against me. He has prepared the best eternity ever, and I will be there with him and all the saints, and we would enjoy it forever. You know, it's part of a catechism that says, what's the purpose of life is to enjoy God, to know him, and to enjoy him forever. That's true. That's true. To enjoy God. But I had all these things in my mind and all of that, you know. And then God assured me, and that has taken me through. And God's love is so... so much. A few things I want to mention here. As we look at these two people here, I see their contrast there. We see that one is critical and reactive, and the other one is responsive and devoted to the Lord Jesus. And do you know, in the presence of God, in a meeting like this, you can have those who are devoted to the Lord at any cost. And there are those who are critical, maybe of the preacher too. Maybe he deserves some of it. But critical of the person who is showing love to the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you this question. How many of you will buy a bottle of perfume for your wife or your husband that costs $10,000? Put your hands up. You would do that. Okay, because if you do that, when you go outside, you got to buy it. How many of you will spend, let's say, $100,000? See, what I'm doing here is I'm kind of measuring my salary from the least to perhaps the mid-range. $10,000 for a bottle of perfume, $100,000 for a bottle of perfume. A year's wages. You work for a whole year, and all you're going to do is buy a bottle of perfume with it. Well, now, first thing I want to say, make sure you check your wife before you do that, and make sure it's for her. And the other thing is, this is being done to Jesus. I was wondering, how do I apply this? Because it was being applied to his body. The first thing I want to see here, say here is opportunity. Say, opportunity. She saw the opportunity. It will not come again. She will have an opportunity. She saw it. I want to anoint the body of Jesus for his burial. He's going to Calvary. I believe it. He's my savior. And, you know, we read a while ago how she was forgiven by the Lord and all of that. So she believes in him. And she wants to do that. But she can't do it any time. And there are some things that we have to do, and we don't have all the time. The opportunity doesn't stay there. It moves on. Had she waited too long, she would not have done that. But she was full of devotion to the Lord Jesus. And so she's a whole year's wages. She bought the perfume. She said, no, my Lord deserves that. I cannot do enough for him. And I want to do what I could do. And I want him to know that my love for him, my devotion to him is real. I will not think of sparing anything. When it comes to him, he's going to get it. And so this devotion is done. And as someone mentioned, you can imagine how the whole room was filled of the aroma. It's beautiful and wonderful. But this guy is a critic. Who was he? He thinks he deserves the presence of Jesus. Yeah, he thinks so. Not this woman, not this sinner. And then he said, if he were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. That sinner, does he know that? Who does he doesn't even know that. That's the critic criticizing the devoted disciple of the Lord. Many people don't go to heaven because they think that they are okay. I remember there's a guy who told me, say, you know what God is going to do? He's going to tap me on the shoulder. And he's going to say, you've done well, come right in. I said, not really. And I gave him the gospel. Just a few days ago, I was talking to someone, and he said to me, you know, my opinion. I said, yes, you are entitled to your opinion. I said, but remember, there's only one God. And that God, the true God, has a son. His name is Jesus, and he sent him, God the Son, sent by God the Father, to die on the cross for you, and he did it. He said, well, how do you know? I said, he said it in his word. How do you know that? He said it. I said, he cannot lie. He said, I am the way, the truth. He can't lie. No one comes unto the Father but by me. He said, well, something. My opinion is so and so. So let me tell you something. He said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. And if you turn your back on the only one, he says you could only have access to God the Father through God the Son. And if you reject that, you are going to fall right into hell. That's what you're doing. Because there's only one way out of that, and you deserve that. I know I deserve it. And remind me of what North Man, he said, you know, Judas kissed the door of heaven and slipped into hell. Oh, that's exactly what he did. So I warned him about that. And he said, okay. But my opinion is, well, I said, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but the fact is, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you and pay the price of suffering, judgment for your sins. And that's the truth. You could go with the truth, or you could fall with your opinion. But that's the choice that you have. And I would say the same today. If you have not received Christ as Savior, you need the Lord Jesus. And may the Spirit of God show you your need. Because we are all blind, we are all dead, we all don't really understand fully who we really are apart from Christ. And the Spirit of God is willing to show you your need of Christ. And if you only say, Lord, I have an open mind. You have an open mind for many things, don't you? Well, have an open mind to God, the creator of the universe, and see the difference that he will make. I want to share something with you really quickly, and that is, I wouldn't have you turn the scriptures because I want to be quick, really. I want to talk about Mary Magdalene. She attended what we call deliverance preaching of Jesus. And she went there, Luke 8, 1 to 2. It came to pass afterward that he, as Jesus, went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings, the good news of the kingdom of God. And there were 12 with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had been cast 7 demons. Now, think about it, not 1 demon, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but 7 demons. Therefore, I use my imagination thinking that she can't sleep in the night. She's harassed, has no peace. But when she came to the deliverance service of Jesus, he cast out all 7 devils, demons out of her. So I can think that after that, she's in peace. She's sleeping in the night. And she's so thankful. She loves Jesus. And you know what? When you look at her, we caught her again in Matthew 27. And what is she doing there? She is at the cross. 27:55 says, they are looking on from afar, among where Mary Magdalene. She's at the foot of the cross of Jesus. She's hearing something. That's what she's hearing. What is she hearing? She's at a cross where Jesus is dying. And she heard the howling cry of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? She heard it. She heard another cry too. It's a loud voice, the Bible says, a loud voice. Waiting for a while, she heard Jesus. And what did he say? He cried a loud voice. Father, into your hands I commend, or as a Greek scholar told us a while ago, 2 weeks ago, it means deposit. I deposit to you my spirit. So Jesus' spirit went to heaven. He didn't descend into hell, as some people say, and pay the price. No, the price was finished, paid at the cross, where he said what? Finished, paid in full. The Greek word, tetelestai, paid in full. He said it. before he died. You know, she heard all of that. What did she see? Well, maybe she heard too. The rocks, that she probably heard the curtain being torn. That curtain was very, very thick. They say it's about 4 inches or so. Very, very thick. From top to bottom. God tearing the curtain. Maybe you can hear the tear symbolizing access to God's presence. We know it also symbolizes the body of Christ torn, his humanity torn in crucifixion. And that's why the cross is so important. And as was mentioned this morning, you know, the judgment for the Christian is behind us. It's not in front of us. And we ought to be the most joyous people because we are not facing judgment anymore. It's impossible because the judgment is gone. There is no condemnation. None whatsoever. To those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to mention something. You know, sometimes you didn't do something as you promised and you feel guilty. I'm sorry. That's all right. But don't go wrong with guilt. No, 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 no. I am not to carry guilt because I have the blood of Jesus. And don't wait until Sunday. That's too long. If I commit a sin, I want within 5 minutes for God to show me to clear it up. I don't want to carry sin. I don't want to do that. I used to. No, Jesus is waiting there for me. He already shed his blood. The blood we are hearing this morning is the most powerful blood, the most powerful detergent in the universe is the blood of Jesus. It's available to us. So don't wait until evening. If you have a little thing between your husband and wife, try to make it. Remember, for me, I was at Moody at the time. We had no cell phones. This is about 1985, 86. And so I would run to the phone, drop a 25 cents in there and call. I don't know who was the first to apologize. Just, why don't you trip over and beat your wife? And you beat her in, meaning that you win the race of saying, I'm sorry. All right? One person shouldn't be the oldest, the one to always say, I'm sorry. You say sorry the next time before she says it or before he says it. You know? This is the word of God. It affects all of us. And so Mary Magdalene, she shows that no matter where you came from, you can always show appreciation and devotion with creativity to the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Jesus said, leave her alone. And wherever this gospel is preached, she's going to be known. And so we're talking about her. Her devotion. So admirable that Jesus mentioned there. Something I wanted to mention here is about Mary Magdalene. You know, 2 Samuel 2 and verse 20. I think I have it written down here. But it's about the time when Samuel talked about mentioned about God saying that those that honor me, I will honor, and those that they don't do it will be lightly esteemed. I believe that God, the Lord Jesus, God's son, was honoring Mary Magdalene. She came to the cross, saw him die, and guess what? She was the first person at the tomb. The first person. She really was devoted to him. He showed himself to her first. As a matter of fact, she didn't know who it was. She thought he was the gardener. But when she turned around, Mary, she turned, Rabboni, teacher. And you know, isn't that something for us Christians too? When Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The voice of Jesus. Do you know the voice of Jesus? If you're not saved, he's been calling you for a long, long time. And it's time to listen to him. Because what he has to offer to you is a life of companionship where he would be your savior at your side no matter what. And something I was going to mention is this. You know what God has done? When I think about it, it's wonderful. I still like, thank you for how your salvation is. Imagine, we have this thing called the flesh, which is in us. It is anti-God. It is selfish. What did God do? He came to live in us. So the Holy Spirit is God. When we allow him, he fights against the flesh. I can't do it. Believe me, I tried many times. I can't do it. So what did Paul say? I can do many things, all things, most things, all things through Christ, who what? Infuses strength into me. And then what about this declaration? I don't know what to call it. Paul speaking, Romans chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion or rulership over you. Why did he say that? Because all through Romans 6, when we died with Christ, we rose with him. He's saying, you know, some people are saying, well, Lord, I'm a Christian. I can sin as much as I want to. You know why? Because I'm going to heaven. Nothing is going to stop me from going to heaven. I don't care how much I sin, I'm going to heaven, because he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, they shall never perish. Therefore, I know what I'm going for. I know I'm not going to die. I'm going to hell. And Paul said, no. You don't understand grace. That's what they call antinomianism. You're against anything that's holy and so on. No. How can we, who are dead to sin, live in it any longer? It says a contradiction. No way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because of who you have become in Christ, you can't live like that anymore. That was Paul's argument. He said, far be it, perish the thought. No. Yeah, there are some people who say that, you know. But it's sad. You know why? Because you're depriving yourself, if you say that, depriving of yourself of rewards in heaven. Why do you do that? Because, you know, everything in this world is what passing. The glory of this world is passing. You see all these guys that play, and they play wonderful. Look at Michael Jordan. I guess his glory days are over. I'm from Chicago. We like Michael. But you know what? He was a great guy as far as that goes. And we all liked him. But it fades after a while. It does fade. He went into golf and all that, but it fades. No matter what performance, what achievement you have in this life, it will fade. So, what the Bible says? We can store up treasures in heaven. Send it ahead. And as we're talking about the body of Christ, because I was thinking about that, it talks about we should be willing to do good, especially for those who are of the household of faith. I want to make a quick thing here, then I want to leave. What is this? In Acts chapter 5, remember Peter talking, because he was confronting Ananias and Sapphira. They had lied. They had sold the land, and he said, well, after you sold it, it was yours. And even after you sold it, it's under your control, right? The answer is yes. So why did you lie and pretend to give all when you weren't giving all? But here's the point. Before you give it, it's yours. Before you give it, it's under your control. So here's what I'm saying here. When you're giving to the church, all right, once you put that and release it, it's no longer yours. It belongs to the church. So there's a story here about the guy's true story. He said he wanted to use the church so that he can get a tax exempt. He said, I'll give this money to the church. I want to give it to a particular individual. Okay, walk right up and give them. No. I want to give it, and then I want to get the tax return so he can get the tax benefit. No, go to the person and give them. I know you're allowed to do that here too. You can go to anyone and give them. But he wanted to manipulate the leadership. The leadership said, no, You give it to us, and we will determine under God where it should go. Right? That's how it's supposed to be. The leadership. That is the pattern set about in Acts. It's given to the leadership. And you know, I want to say this, it's thank God for a local assembly like this, because you know, we live in a world where people are driving around in Lear jets. I don't know much about them, is that they're too expensive for me. I can't afford it. So many millions. The old preachers used to go to the airport, wait, and fly out. No, the Lear jets. So it has given a bad name to Christendom. All right? Thank God we wouldn't have that problem here. All right? Because what is done for God need to be done by his pattern, by the way he has established in the scriptures the way things should be done. I thank God for the assembly here. In many ways, will not fall into that trap because of how we follow the word as far as that goes. So thank God for that. You know, there are many times when you should thank the Lord for your assembly. When you think about what goes on in the world, thank God for an assembly like this. Now, if I was to make a mistake, I know somebody's going to correct me, because we are so in tune with the word of God, and we have men of God that know the word, that teach it. I wonder if you realize it's a privilege. It is a privilege, and we thank God for that. I want to try to close by saying this. Galatians 2:20, Paul said what? He talks about the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And I was reading recently about somebody who had a conflict with someone who's involved in witchcraft. You know, the Pleroma, the Ouija board, balls and all of that. And so the counselor said, you know what, you need to renounce satanic activity and all of that. And yeah, you can say Jesus is Lord, that's wonderful. He said, you know something? Don't just say Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is my Lord. And when he said it, it got catatonic. Because the, you know, the demonic forces begin to realize, okay, this guy is serious about Jesus. Say it for yourself. I take trust Jesus as my Lord. It's like when you're getting married. What does it say? What? Forsaking all others, I take him. I take her. That's it. Forsaking all other gods, all other offerings for salvation. For there is salvation in none other but the Lord Jesus. No other, there's no salvation anywhere else except in Jesus. Not on planet Earth. You can't find it. You can try. Or you can have many names. I don't want to put the names in my mouth. But it amongst this, they always say, I'm performing. I perform so well, I think God should accept me. It's like you're trying to bribe God. I was thinking about it. You know, the FBI, they watch out for counterfeit and so on. Counterfeit is passed around and so on. The banks make sure they catch it. They have now machines that can detect it and so on. What if someone said, there's a lot of money. Let's say $4 trillion. A lot of money. But the only one thing about it, it's got worms in it. It's dirty. And it's beyond redemption. What do you think they're going to say? Or bring it anyway? They check it out. They see it's not good. What are they going to do? Reject it. The best that we as human beings can produce before God is as what? Filthy rags. Not just rags, but dirty, filthy, smelly, rotten rags. You have a choice between that, or you can receive as a gift the robe of righteousness. You know, there's that song that they used to sing, all God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, gonna? Oh no, it's too late. You gotta put on that robe now. Okay? You don't wait to get to heaven. You could put on that robe now. How do you do it? You come, Lord, I am a sinner. I realize there's nothing I could contribute and give you that you can accept because I am a sinner. Everything that I've touched is infected with sin. My mind is infected with sin. My emotions, my point of view, everything, my thoughts, infected with sin. I hear that your son has died on the cross. He took my sin. He took it upon himself. I don't know how he did it. I don't want to believe he did it. He died. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And God raised him from the dead. And where are those sins now? They're either on you or on the Lord Jesus. My plea to you is put them on Jesus. Say, Lord, recognize it, more like recognizing, Lord, you took my sins. And I am believing you that there is power in your blood. Get rid of my sin, please, Lord. I cannot do it, but I'm trusting you to do it. Will you please take my sins away? And I will thank you and praise you and serve you for the rest of my life. Will he do it? Yes. That's what he said. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You can be saved. You can be saved. This very moment, come to the Lord Jesus. Come to him expressing your desire in prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that might be saved, that could be saved, shall guarantee you will be saved. Call upon somebody drowning. I was watching a show the other day and somebody was pretending to be drowning. And the lifeguard said, you realize this is criminal? When you're pretending to be drowning and you're not, it's criminal to have us go out there to try to save you and you're insincere. And I would say this, if you are sincere from your heart and you meant it, you want Jesus to save you, you really, really want to, he knows it. At that very moment, immediately, was not the word we had there? Immediately, Jesus will wash you, cleanse you, and welcome you in his kingdom. All right, so don't put it off. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And then the Bible says again, it's a warning. He or she, being often reproved and hardened his or her neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So if the Lord is speaking to you, you want something cleared up or whatever, you know, to give your life to the Lord, or you want to be clearer, we'll be glad to talk to you. We'll be happy to do it. Talk to someone, maybe someone who invited you to Zoom, they're still on Zoom, and we will get to you, and we would be happy to know that you are wanting our Christ, the only Savior of the world. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that there is nothing like your plan. You gave your son, you gave his life, having come down to this sinful world. And he did the job. He died for our sins, took our punishment. And now anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for the guarantee. I pray that someone will call today. We bless you and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.